This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Randy Han and Celebration Church in Fresno, California. For more information, please visit celebrationchurch.cc.
Hey, can we put our hands together for our lead pastors? My mom and dad do an incredible job leading our church. So thankful for them. I'm excited about concluding this series, Confidence, talking about how to be stable when things are not. You know, growing up as a kid, I never seemed to really struggle with self-esteem issues. I was really proud of myself as a younger kid. In fact, I was the kid that whenever there was a camera around, I had a phrase that I was kind of known for. I'd run around saying, take a picture of me, take a picture of me. Like, I just wanted to be like the center of attention. If there's a spotlight, I was there. I remember when that kind of changed for me, though. Adolescence comes with a vengeance. And I began having breakouts on my skin in my early teen years. At first, people would tell me, Nick, don't worry about it. Like, it's normal. Like, everybody goes through that. And I understand. I get it. But for me, it seemed to get worse and worse. And my little breakouts turned into a plague of sores that seemed to cover my skin. And as time went on, I have to be honest with you, I really began to struggle with it. It began to affect my self-worth, my self-esteem. I can remember when things changed, when I'd be in conversations with people, talking to others. And I could tell that they weren't really looking at me, that they were looking at the condition of my skin. I can remember the most offensive question that I would be asked by people, at the end of a conversation. They say, hey, have you been washing your face? And like, they're being very, very like serious. And I'm like, no, I just want my skin to look like this. I haven't been washing my face at all. I can remember when we get into arguments with people, if they really wanted to cut me down, people that knew me, if they really wanted to get to me, all they'd have to do is make a remark about my skin. I remember going overseas to the Philippines on missions trips as a teenager. And, we're going to help these people that are impoverished and living in situations that, I mean, you couldn't even just mentally imagine. And at the end of those trips, they'd always give gifts. And every time that we went during my teenage years, they'd give me soap and tell me that it was for my face. And, you think, you're like, man, I know they don't mean it in a bad way, but if I'm honest, it hurts. It hurts because it's a condition that I couldn't control. And it moved from being something that I experienced, that I was dealing with, that I was battling in my life. And it moved to a place where it became my identity, where I didn't want to have conversations with people, where I didn't want to be in public. If I ever did, I just put a smile on my face and act like everything was okay, when in reality, I was dying inside. I remember one day, I was washing my hands in the restroom, and the voice of my conscience just like kind of came to me, and I couldn't shake it. And this is what it said: you don't look at your face in the mirror anymore. And I tried to just brush it off, but it just kept kind of like coming to my mind. And if I'm honest with you, it frustrated me. It made me mad. It just, for some reason, I was fed up. This condition that I couldn't control, that had become who I was. I remember stopping, washing my hands, and looking straight up into the mirror. I remember just forcing myself to stare at the sores on my face. I remember tears welling up in my eyes and begin to rolling down my cheeks and out of my mouth. I remember staring at the sores on my face and saying to myself, speaking to those sores and saying, you will not define me. I remember over and over, just under my breath, I mean, my voice trembling, you will not define me. You will not define me. And I'd love to tell you that it got better. I'd love to tell you that everything changed, but it's been a journey. Because as those sores healed, and it was years, like this was before Accutane, and I was the one kid that Proactiv didn't work for, and this went on and on and on, and eventually as the sores healed, just turned to scars, and this has been just a battle of mine. I mean, even to this day, at times, it bothers me. Our production teams here at the church know that if there's ever a special performance that I'm doing, there's certain lighting we can't use, because the camera will pick up the extreme texture of my skin. And one thing, though, that I know changed is in that moment, while it may still bother me today, it doesn't bother me like it used to. And this is the reason why. In that moment of desperation, that moment of being fed up, the moment of being at the end of my rope, I don't know what to do, I can't control this, I found the courage to confront the situation that seemed to be dominating me. And in that moment, I took back something that had been stolen from me. My worth. My identity. I took it back and things began to change. What's interesting, when I look back on that time of my life, I was surrounded by really, really great people. And these really great people would constantly tell me, Nick, it's something on the outside. It's exterior. Don't let it get to you. It really doesn't matter. It's not who you are. Regardless of what these people said, it didn't change the way that I felt. It was really, really real to me. What do you do when the problem that you're facing isn't external? What do you do when the problem that you're facing can't be fixed by external means? What do you do when the struggle that you're facing is internal? What do you do when the problem that you are facing is you? I'm talking about insecurity. Many of us in this room would say, Nick, my self-esteem is fine, but self-esteem is only a small part of what insecurity entails. If you've ever felt like you were less than, if you ever felt in your life that you were not enough of a dad, not enough of a mom, not enough of a husband, not enough of a wife, not enough of a child, not enough of a talent, not enough of a worker. If you've ever felt like you are not enough, that somehow you didn't measure up, then you have struggled with this idea of insecurity. Here's what insecurity can be defined as. Insecurity is uncertainty or anxiety about oneself. Another definition is a lack of confidence. Lack of confidence. Did you know that over 50 million Americans suffer from mental disorders that come strictly as a result of insecurity? The dysfunctions that it's actually changed the way their personality and the way that they think as a result of insecurity, a lack of confidence. Every year, more deaths are caused by suicide, than homicide or war. People at the end of the rope. Why? Because they've gone through a situation that I can never overcome this situation. I've gone through a divorce. There's no way that I'll ever find love again. There's no way that I'll ever measure up and be able to be the person that I once was. This world would be better off without me because I'll never be able to measure up to the expectations of anybody else. I've been through this. I know what this experience is like. To think to yourself, maybe it would just be better off if I wasn't here. As a result of what? Insecurity. I don't feel like I measure up. I'm not good enough. Nobody would miss me. 75%. This is staggering to me. 75% of all women admit to engaging in disordered eating, cutting, bullying, smoking, or drinking as a result of insecurity in their lifetime. It's a huge issue. And yet none of us talk about it. We walk around and we smile. It's because what we're taught to do. This is our society. Make your life look like it's perfect. Smile through the pain. Don't let them see you sweat. Just smile and act like everything is good. When inside, we're dying. And insecurity, man, it's subtle, isn't it? I mean, can you even remember your first insecurity? Most of us can't. It starts with the most simple thing, right? I was having a conversation with some friends the other day. And one person, well, somehow we got on the subject of insecurity. And they were talking about, man, I'm really insecure because one of my thumbs is shorter than the other. This is like a major issue for them. I'm like, your thumbs? Like, who even looks at thumbs? Like, who cares? You get it? Gave somebody else the courage to pipe up. They said, really? You want to know what I'm insecure about? And we're like, what? They're like, my wrists. Like, your wrists? Like, you're insecure about your wrists? She's like, yeah, I think my wrists are fat. She said, in fact, when I'm in school, I don't raise my hand like this. I raise my hand like this so all the people behind me don't see my fat wrists. We're like, what? Like, why? Why should that even matter? You know, one of my insecurities. My own personal insecurities. Man, I'm really insecure about going out in public alone. Being out by myself. When I tell people this, they're like, what? Like, how would you be insecure about going out in public alone and being around people? You can stand up and you can talk to thousands of people in a, you know, a scenario like this. But for me, there's been times when I've been out in public alone and somebody who doesn't like me has come up to me and verbally attacked me and I felt cornered. And because of that, I have an insecurity. The crazy thing about insecurities is when we share them with others, everybody else is like, how could you be insecure about that? The downside to that is just because somebody else doesn't care about my insecurity doesn't mean that it's not real to me. And so what happens is the more people downplay the things that we feel, the more we stop talking about them. But just because we stop discussing them doesn't mean that we've dealt with them. And so what we do is we take these things that we struggle with, that we battle with, and rather than deal with them or face them or come face to face with the thing that we're insecure about, what do? We shove them deep down inside. It's not that they go away. We just stop talking about them. We smile through the pain. You see, here's what insecurity is. Insecurity is a problem that used to bother my mind that now lives in my heart. It used to keep me up at night. It used to bother me. It used to be the thing that I would call my friend and have conversations with about because I was really struggling and battling with it. But when they didn't seem to care, when they seemed to belittle it, when everybody was like, oh, it's just not a big deal. Get over it. Move past it. I stopped talking about it and I internalized it. And I pushed it down inside of my heart. It's gone from a problem that I face to a problem that I am. Why is this an issue? Proverbs says this. It says, guard your heart above all else, above everything that you do in your life. God tells us to guard my heart, guard the inside, guard the real me. Why? He says this, for it determines the course of your life. This is why the devil, this is why darkness, this is why evil, they can't keep you from faith in Jesus. What will he try to do? Try to keep you insecure. Why? Because if he can keep you insecure, he can have a way into your heart. And if he finds a way into your heart, what has he found? A way to direct your life. It's an issue bigger than we think, bigger than we face, because when a problem goes from something that I'm just facing to a problem that I own on the inside, it actually directs where I go in my life. What causes insecurities? I want to talk to three major ones. The first one is my value system. In the book of Matthew in Scripture, it says this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What does this have to do with anything? Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Most of us, when we think treasure, people use this a lot of times to talk about generosity. Some of you may think like pirate's booty when you think of treasure, like treasure map and finding treasure. But what treasure is, really what treasure is whatever I value. Things that are precious to me. In other words, what the scripture is communicating is where your value system is, there your heart will be also. The things that I think make me significant, the things that I think make me important, the things that I think give me worth, wherever that is, there my heart will be. Why is that significant? Because wherever my heart goes, my life goes. The things that I allow or I keep in my heart, it directs the course of my life. So what happens is when my value system is misplaced, what I have the tendency to do is I find my significance in external things. Things that are around me. What am I talking about? What I do? What I look like? Who I know? What I own? These are things that I experience, that I see in the world around me. What I do? My job, my occupation. If this is what makes me confident, if this is what gives me my worth, again, a misplaced value system. If what I do gives me my worth, I'm going to spend a lot of my life dissatisfied. Why? Because half of your life, you're trying to get to the place where I can do what I want to do. And then when I finally get to that job, to that position, if I ever get there, I can't stay there my entire life. I move on. What do you do when you get older and when your significance is based around what you do for a living? What are you going to do when you can no longer perform the tasks that you used to be able to perform? People who struggle with this, people that have their identity or their value system and what they do, they always say things like this. Well, I'm just a manager at a Target. Yeah, I'm just a construction worker. I'm just a librarian. I just work at a fast food restaurant. And instead of being thankful that I'm not one of the nearly 7 million people in the United States of America that are unemployed, I'm frustrated because I don't have the job that I want to have. Instead of being thankful that I'm alive for those of us that don't have a job, I'm frustrated because I'm not where I want to be. It's a misplaced value system. What about what I look like? Isn't this a huge one in our society? We look around and say, I'm just not worth anything. Why? Because I don't look like them. Like you got to choose the face that you have. Right? Right? About the only thing we can change is things that we can do through plastic surgery or hair color, right? But for the most part, you can't change it. And yet we allow things like this because of what we see in society, what society tells us is attractive and unattractive to become what? To become our identity. What I look like. When I find my identity and what I look like, what's going to happen the older I get? Nobody stays cute forever, right? Except my grandma. My grandma's beautiful. She always looks cute. She does. What I do, what I look like. What about who I know? This is a big one. Now, did you see who so-and-so was hanging out with the other day? Man, if I could just hang out with them. Man, I just love them so much. I just want to be their friend. If I could be, and this is what I found out, because in my life, I've thought like this at times. Maybe if I just knew them, then I could actually maybe step into the career field that I want. Maybe I could actually have the exposure that I need. Everything's about connections, right? If I could just know those people to get ahead in life. And the thing that I found out about getting around those people, that you have dreams and aspirations, if I could just spend time with them one day, when I've got to be around those people, I actually like my friends a whole lot better. Some of us are missing out on the great things God wants to do in our lives because we're missing out on the people that are around us. Some of you have people that don't just like you. You have people that love you, but you're dissatisfied because you don't think you're significant because you want to know somebody else. You want to be friends with somebody else. When my significance is found in who I know and how important I can be because of who I know, I always will find myself insecure. You can admire greatness, or you can be greatness. What about what I own, my possessions, the things that I have, if my value system, the things that makes me important is what I have? I'm going to be really insecure. Why? Because what happens when I lose everything that I have? What happens when I want more and I don't have the more that I desire? If my significance and my worth, who I am, is the things that I own, I'm going to be very insecure. If I'm insecure, that's where my life is going to go. So what should I set my value system on? In the Bible, it says it like this in Colossians. It says, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Let us not forget that you showed up to church today because you believe that there's more to life than just existing. That you are a spirit being and we spend eternity somewhere. This is the pregame. Let us not set our minds on things that are just temporary. But let's set our minds, let's value things that are eternal. What does that mean? This is what we talk about. Use your life to make a difference. Use your life in the midst of your own need to impact somebody else. Why? That's something that's eternal. That's something that affects the scope of eternity. To get your eyes off just what is and the situations that suck and the things that I'm facing and the things that I don't have and I don't look like I want to look and I don't know the people that I want to know. To set my sights on something greater, on something higher, on something eternal. Here's another thing that I think causes insecurity in our life. It's our experiences. Things that we've been through. Everything in life is cause and effect. To everything that you faced today, there's something that happened yesterday that caused it. Cause and effect. I mean, you may say, my husband came and just started yelling at me out of nowhere, and I did nothing. He just came at me and just started yelling at me. But you don't acknowledge the fact that for 2 days straight, you were just nagging him over and over. Can I get an amen, husbands, right? Just kidding. Cause and effect. I do bad in school, so I get an F on my grades. Cause and effect. Insecurity. Insecurity is born when an external cause has had what? An internal effect. An external situation has had an internal effect. My grandmother or somebody that I trusted, they told me, you're really never going to amount to anything. I know that's something that you're passionate about, but our family isn't smart like that. Cause, right? So now when I have an opportunity to advance at work and apply for a different job, I don't, because I'm insecure that I don't think I'll have the abilities. I don't know if I have the skills. What is that internal effect? I was abused. I was taken advantage of. It wasn't fair. Cause. So now I trust no one. What is that? Internal effect. My dad left me, my mom, my brother, and my sister when I was young. Cause. So now it's hard for me to have confidence in any single human being because at their core I believe that they're just like my dad. What is that internal effect? I struggled with acne as a teenager. Cause. I let it become my identity, my worth, effect. Here's the fact of the matter about your experiences. I hope you hear this today. Your experiences may explain you. They may explain how you are the way that you are, how you think the way that you think. Your experiences may explain you, but you decide if they define you. You make the choice to say, this is not just something that has happened to me, but this is who I am, or I refuse to allow this to make me who I am. This is just something that I've experienced, and I will rise above the situation that I have faced. It will not become my identity. I make the decision. And some of us have had really, really cruel, unfair things happen to us. And to choose to not allow that to become your identity does not discredit that. You have been abused. You have been harmed. You have been hurt. It has been unjust. It has been unfair. It's not right. It is evil. You cannot control all the things that you face in your life. You cannot control all the problems that come knocking on your door, but you can control how you respond to those things. You can control if you allow them to stop you and keep you from living life and to prohibit you from being everything that you desire to be in your life. Situations are going to come. You're going to face circumstances. You're going to have really negative experiences at time in life. And you make the choice. You make the choice. Am I going to allow this situation to define me? Am I going to allow this situation to define me? Great thing about our faith, the Psalm says this, that for those of you that are hurting today as a result of your experiences, this is what God says. God heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. That's something that only he can do on a spiritual level. He can bring healing to those of you that are feeling broken today. Those of you who are taken advantage of. Those of you who were done dirty in business deals. Those of you where you did everything right and it seemed like your life still seemed to crumble and fall apart. God heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. Isaiah says, this is how God sees you. You are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. You are precious in the eyes of God, your creator, the one who made you. You're honored and he loves you. You're somebody. You're somebody. God doesn't make nobodies. You're somebody in this place today. You are not what you've been through. Some of you need to hear that today. You are not what you've been through. It was real and it was wrong, but it is not you. It is not you. Have the courage today to look your circumstance, your insecurity in the face. Say out of your mouth the words, you will not define me. Take your power back. Here's the last thing that I think causes insecurity in our lives. It's my behavior. I know what I've done. I know what I do. And because of that, I'm not qualified for the life that I desire. I'm not qualified for my best life. I know the road that I've walked. I know the mistakes that I've made. I know the life that I'm living, even sitting in here this place today. And because of that, I don't believe that I'm qualified. And it's what's interesting is even though this idea of we don't have to obey to get God to accept us, this is the foundation of Christianity, that God has accepted us just like we are, we still struggle with this insecurity as a result of our behavior. A lot of times because we feel guilt. We feel shame. I feel bad. I'm doing wrong, I've done wrong, and I feel bad about it. 1 John says this, because God knew that we would feel this way. He says this, he says, if our hearts condemn us, if I feel guilt, if I feel shame, if our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. We talk about this word condemn. When a building gets condemned, what does that mean? It means that the building is deemed unusable, or it's no longer useful. So when our hearts condemn us, what are our hearts saying? You're no longer usable because of your behavior. You're no longer useful because of the things that you've done and the things that you're doing. But scripture says, when I feel that way, I know that God is greater than my heart that tries to condemn me. And what? And he knows everything. What is it communicating to you? God knew that you would do the things that you've done before you did them. And God's not intimidated by the situations that you faced or the things that you have done or you brought upon yourself. In fact, the scripture says, even though God knows everything, he still sees you as usable. He still sees you as useful. Even when your heart tries to condemn you, God is greater than your heart. He's greater than your heart. Continues and says this, and friends, once that's taken care of and we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves, that's what we're professionals at. It's not what people are necessarily saying to us. It's not even what God is saying to us. It's how I feel about me. When we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves, what happens? We're bold and we're free before God. We're able to stretch our hands out and receive what we ask for because what? We're doing what he said, what God said, doing what pleases him. Most of us think this is about our behavior. This is not about our behavior. What has God said that we should do? It tells us right here. This is God's command. To believe in his personally named son, Jesus Christ. It's not about you. It's about your faith in Jesus. In other words, your worth. Your worth is not based. Your worth is not based on how you behave. Your worth is based on how you believe. It's no longer about your actions or your mistakes. It's about your faith in Jesus. When I believe in Christ, the old me is dead and gone because of what I believe, not because the life that I live. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Why? Because I believe. Because I believe. Hear this today. Your worth, what makes you somebody, is not the way that you behave. This is the beauty of Christianity. When I place my faith in the sacrifice of Christ, because God knew that I would never be good enough on my own, he sent his son to be sacrificed in my place so that when I place my faith in him, it's no longer based upon my behavior. It's based upon what I believe about Jesus Christ, my Savior. The interesting thing about insecurity is we are the only ones, only you. Only you have the ability to overcome insecurity. What? You mean I can't just ask God to make me secure? God's done everything that he can do. He's provided a way, but only you have the ability to overcome insecurity. Why? Because insecurity is a result of what you believe. In other words, this is the only thing that God can't do for you. Belief is a choice. And in the very foundations, when God made man, He didn't even make Adam and Eve, the first people he created. He didn't make them choose him. He set before them death and life. And he said, you choose. You make the choice what you believe today. That's why insecurity is so destructive. We're waiting for somebody to fix it. We're waiting for God to fix it. And we're the only ones that can fix it. Why? Because it's a choice to believe something different. In other words, the only cure for insecurity is a new identity. The only cure for the insecurities that I face as a result of my misplaced value system, as a result of my experiences, as a result of my behaviors, the only cure for the insecurities, the things that make me feel less than, that I will never measure up, that I'll never have the life that I desire, the things that create, the only cure for that is to choose a different identity. This is why God sent Jesus. So that I can literally place myself, be clothed in a new identity. I'm not the situations that I've been through. Not the things people have said about me. I am what I believe. Romans says this. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate, please hear this today. More than just something that I'm, listen to the words of this. If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, what did he do? He embraced our condition. Our broken condition, exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son. Is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would even dare point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment doing what? Sticking up for us. What am I communicating today? There are so many of us that feel like God is mad at us, that Jesus is disappointed in us. He's not. Jesus, in this moment, in the midst of your mess, in the midst of your bad behavior, in the midst of your bad decision, Jesus is in the very presence of God sticking up for you. I know they deserve death, God, but I paid for it. I died on a cross so that every mistake that they would ever make, every act of adultery, every lie, every betrayal, every deceit, I paid for it. It's been paid for. They can't be punished for it. What is he doing? He's sticking up for you. He's not mad at you. He's not disappointed in you. He's in the presence of God and he's sticking up for you. Yeah, but I knew better and I still did wrong. He paid for that too. And right now, in this moment, he stands in the presence of God, not angry, not saying, yeah, God, give it to him. No, he's saying, God, don't, because I paid for it. He's sticking up for us. This is the God that we serve, that he sent his son to die a horrible death upon a cross, to die, to come back to life, conquering the power of death, so that you and you and you can place your faith in Jesus and not have to be a victim to your circumstance or your bad decisions or your behavior. God is now sticking up for you. So do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and God's love for us? There's no way. There's no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins. None of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. None of this fazes us. This is not a license to do whatever I want to do. This is a freedom to live the life that I've always wanted. It's no longer based upon me trying to measure up. It's based upon what God has done for me. So here's the big question today. Will you continue to struggle with your identity because of the presence of insecurity? Or will you choose, make the choice, to let go of your insecurity, to choose a new identity? In the Bible, there's this story about a guy named Moses, and Moses had a kind of crazy life. And if you don't know the story, I encourage you to read it in the Bible. But God had this plan to use Moses, and Moses was so less than perfect. I mean, at the time that God decided that he was going to use Moses, at this time in his life, he was already a murderer. God still wanted to use him to do something great because God had an issue. And the issue was this, that there was a government, there was a Pharaoh on the earth that was keeping his people who believed in him, in slavery. So he wanted to use Moses to help deliver these people. So he comes to this guy named Moses, and he says, Moses, I need your help, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to go before the government, I want you to go before the Pharaoh, and I want you to tell them to let my people go. Right? And I want to use you to do something great, even in the midst of your imperfection. And I want us to look at how Moses responds in the book of Exodus. This is how Moses responds to God. God literally speaking to him in an audible voice. This is what he says. He says, no, Lord, don't send me. I've never been a good speaker. I've never been good with words, and I haven't become good with words since you began to speak to me. In other words, what he's saying is, I haven't been good with words, and God, you couldn't even fix it. Right? He said this, I stutter and I stammer. I stutter and I stammer. I have a speech problem. I have an insecurity. God says back to him, and okay, well, who do you think made the human mouth? Isn't it I, God? This is what God says. I'll be right there with you, with your mouth. I'll be right there to teach you what to say. In other words, I'm not intimidated by your situation. I'm not intimidated by your insecurity. I still want to use you anyway. And so Moses and God come to this agreement. And God begins doing incredible things through the life of Moses. I mean, he goes before this Pharaoh, this government. And he says, let God's people go. And Pharaoh's like, no. And he says, okay, you asked for it. Then God begins to cause all these miraculous plagues to come upon these people. I mean, like the one plague was frogs, and there's frogs everywhere. Like imagine just piles of frogs being everywhere that you walk. And then there's a swarms of locusts that come in. You can't go anywhere without these grasshoppers just getting all in your face. The actual river actually turns to blood. God's doing all of these incredible things through this imperfect person. Finally, the government, Pharaoh, gets so fed up. He's like, fine, just take them, go. And they take off on this journey to this land that God had prepared for them. It was called the Promised Land, right? And there's crazy things that happen. They come up before this big body of water, and they can't cross it. And Pharaoh's people had changed their minds, so they're chasing them. And so he lifts up his walking stick, and like the waters part, and they walk across on dry land. And then the people chasing him, they go into the dry land, and then he pulls his staff down, and the waters close, and they all die. All these incredible, incredible things. On the way to the journey, people got hungry and got thirsty, and God would feed them food from heaven and give them water to drink. And there's this one particular situation where Moses comes to God, and Moses says to God, the people are hungry again, and we're on this journey, and we don't have water. And so God responds to Moses, and he says this. This is what he says. He said, okay, well, this is what you're going to do. You're going to get Aaron's rod. Then you and Aaron get everybody together. This is what he says. As they watch, this is what I want you to do. I want you to speak to that rock over there. And I want you to tell it to pour out its water. And you will give them water from the rock, enough for all the people and all of their cattle. So this is what Moses does. They get all the people together. They get the walking stick. They get the rod. And he stands up before everybody. He says, listen, everybody, I know that you're thirsty, but God cares about us. He's going to provide. God told him to speak to the rock. He looks at the rock. Instead of speaking to the rock, what does he do? He takes his staff, he takes his walking stick, and he strikes the rock. What happens? As soon as he strikes the rock, water comes flowing out of the rock. In other words, a miracle still happened. God was still working in the midst of what he was facing. But later God comes to Moses and he says, Moses, because you didn't trust me to speak to the rock, instead you struck the rock, you're not going to be able to enter into the promised land with everybody. In other words, you're not going to enter into this land where you can live freely, your best life, your fulfilled life. Isn't it interesting that the same thing that kept Moses from the promised land was the same insecurity that peaked its head in the beginning when God tried to call Moses into the task that he had for him? His speech, his insecurity. God, I can't speak. I stutter and stammer. And the final thing was, why don't you speak to the rock? His insecurity showing himself again. Because this is what our insecurities do. This is why they're so dangerous. Our insecurities don't keep God from us. Miracles will still happen, and God will use you to affect lives around you. You can still live a productive Christian life. Things are going to go smooth. You're going to have moments where, God, wow, look what you did. But see, insecurities, they don't keep God from us. What insecurities do, our insecurities keep us from God. Why? Because we always feel like we're not enough. We always feel like we don't measure up. God can be in the midst working in our life, and we wouldn't even see it. Why? Because we see our insecurity. Because of that, because of Moses' insecurity, he never got to enter into his best life. We choose to hold on to our insecurities. What happens to us? The same thing. We'll never experience the life that we really desire, our best life. Think about overcoming insecurity. Overcoming insecurity is a daily decision. The Bible says it like this. I always thought it was kind of interesting. It says, you must daily pick up your cross and follow me. That's how the Bible puts it. Well, I've always hated that scripture. I think it's really like intimidating. Like, you think about the cross, you think about the crucifixion of Christ, think about a place of pain, a place of destruction where somebody's going to be dead. You want me to pick up my cross and follow you? But see, that's the way I see the cross. When God looks at the cross, you know what he sees? He sees my promise. He sees my new identity. He sees a way to bury the hatchet with my insecurities and to step into a life that God has destined me to have. Because the only cure for insecurity is a new identity. Hear me today. You got to choose. Choose to identify with your situation and allow it to be more than just an external problem you face, but who you are. Or choose to set that aside in order to have the life that you really want, your best life, the life God desires you to have. You know what insecurity really is? Insecurity really is the awareness of the space between where I am and where I want to be. I'm here, but I want to be there. And sometimes I think the greatest answer to the space between where you are and where you want to be is found in seeing the space between where you are and where you used to be. Instead of allowing the situations that you face, the bad things that you've gone through, to become your identity, what if we can look back on those things and say, wow, I may not be where I want to be, but God, look what you kept me from. Look at those things that should have killed me that didn't. Look at those things that should have scarred me so bad that I wouldn't be capable of placing my faith in God. But I'm here, and I'm alive, and I have a future, and God's not done with me yet. I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. When I see what God has brought me through, I know that he will be faithful to continue the good work that he has started in me. Do not be discouraged. It's not over. God is on your side. He's still working. Don't allow yourself to be held captive by something as stupid as insecurity. God is greater than your insecurity. Sometimes I think if we could just look back and say, wow, God, thank you. I think it begins to just uproot insecurity from our heart. It puts us in a position where we have the courage to believe. Courage to believe what? God's done it before and he'll do it again. He's taken me out of I think differently than I think thoughts. Than I think. I think differently today than I ever thought or imagined that I would think. Why? It's God. God has done something great in my heart. Right now across this room, can we just close our eyes just together and maybe just in a moment, just ask God to do something special right here in Clovis, right here in Madera, right here in Fresno. Just ask God to do something special in our heart. God, when we look back on our lives, God, we're thankful. You're not perfect. You already know that. It's not even about that. You never once have given up on us. You've always found a way to connect us to the right people. You've always found a way to keep my attention, even when I've been abused by religion, even by when people who have represented you have represented you wrongly. You somehow still position me in a place where my heart would be open to you. God, thank you for that. Instead of seeing the wounds of my father or my mother or my grandparents or my situation, God, I choose to look at, wow, look at how you've graced me to overcome that abuse. Look at how you've graced me to love like I wasn't loved. Look at how you've graced me to be the dad that my dad wasn't. Look at how you've graced me to be the mom that my mom wasn't. Look at the way that you have graced me to be an entrepreneur. Well, my family, we couldn't even imagine something like that. God, we say thank you today. Just right where you're at, between you and God. God, we say thank you. Oh, thank you. Oh, we say thank you. Everything you've done. And everything you've done, oh, we say thank you. God, that you know our hearts, you know us, you know the ugly parts of us, you know the stuff that we've never told everybody, anybody, and you still want us, you still desire a relationship with us, you still desire us to live a life that's above our circumstance or our value system or our behavior. God, we say thank you. God, we choose to be thankful today. We say thank you. We say thank you. And thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. We say thank you. We say thank you. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Yeah, we ask that you would heal those of us today that are brokenhearted and struggling. Allow circumstance to get us down. Make the choice to confront the things that have become who we are today, to say no more. Maybe you're in this place and you never placed your faith in Christ. If you're in that position, then your life is based upon your behavior. If you've never placed your faith in Christ, then your worth today is based upon how good you can be. It doesn't have to be that way. This is the message of the gospel. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, no longer is their life about their behavior. This is freedom. But now it's based upon what Jesus has done for us. You never made a decision to place your faith in Christ, and you'd like to do that today. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I'm going to ask that you pray it with me. In fact, I'm going to ask that everybody pray this with me. We're family. Nobody prays alone. All of our campuses, can we mean this with all of our hearts? Say this today. Say, Jesus, today I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you live for me. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you came back from the dead for me. Mean this part. Say, I call you my Savior. I make you my Lord. Say this. Say, I choose to find my identity in you. And no longer in me. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen.
This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Randy Han and Celebration Church in Fresno, California. For more information, please visit celebrationchurch.cc.